Book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Today we finish our study of this book of the 1 Thessalonians. And I'm excited. I'm excited because next Sunday we begin a new study, the book of Daniel. And I love that book. It starts out with just really encouraging events in the life of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it ends with encouraging events of the end times. Jesus is coming back. You know that, right? Live like it. This could be our last day. And if it is, glory to God, we know where we're going, right? As children of King. Today, though, we're going to take a look at church life. And more specifically, how to navigate church life. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. Rejoice. Rejoice always, and pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. And then finally, abstain from every form of evil. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would open your word to us, and that you will open our hearts to receive it, that you will convict of sin and draw us near to you, Lord. We pray especially for those, Lord, that are in this service who are lost, who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today's the day that they'll call upon you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Paul, in closing this book, he does a classic preacher move, if you will. He kind of takes a shotgun approach. He comes to, you know, to closing this letter, and he has several things that he just wants to shoot out there and remind them of how they should do things. And so that's what I call this, the shotgun message, right? Because it covers a lot of ground. But to condense it and put it all in a category, I would say it's just how to deal with church life. And there are basically three people that you got to deal with in church. Okay? Number one, you've got the pastors. We all know how contrary they can be. You've got the people. And then number three, you've got personal responsibilities or dealing with yourself. Now we're going to start in this message with the pastor, because that's where Paul started in verse 12 when he said, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Who's he talking about? He's talking about pastors. He's talking about church leaders, right? And so the challenge is, he said, recognize. That word recognize means to know. And it's more than just, okay, you know, as in you recognize Brother Doug when you see him. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about knowing Brother Doug, knowing Brother Ken Worthen, knowing Brother Michael Weatherford, knowing them personally. And what they need and what you can do to encourage them. Know your pastors. What do you need to know about your pastors? Well, it's a good thing. I know that was just on the forefront of your mind, wasn't it? It's a good thing that was, because I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you what you seldom ever hear about pastors. Okay? You want to hear the scoop on pastors? Okay, here we go. He's called by God. When I say pastors, I'm not talking about just me. I'm talking about all of our staff pastors. I'm talking about pastors of other churches. I'm talking about pastors, okay? Here's what you need to understand. First, that man, that pastor, is called by God. He did not choose this as a profession or a career. If you think that being a pastor is a career, see me after church. I want to visit with you about it. It's not. It is a call by God. And it is a response to the call of God. To be honest with you, I can't do anything else. Oh, I could get another job, but I can't do anything else that will satisfy my soul. Because God has called me into the ministry, and I'm much like the Apostle Paul, woe to me if I preach not the gospel. Yeah? So no, he's called by God. He's not in a profession. Number two, he's a real person. And the reason I say that is because you see what we want you to see as pastors. For example, in me, you see the Sunday pastoral face, the suit, the tie. And that's fine. And I don't mean to be putting on anything different than what I am. But I want you to understand that all pastors, whether it's me, whether it's any of our staff pastors, we are real people in that we're subject to temptation just like you are. I know that shocks you. You say, Brother Doug, can you be tempted by sin? Absolutely. I fight the same battles that everyone else in this congregation fight. And Brother Michael fights the same battles. And Brother Kelly Roach fights the same battles. We all, even Brother Dale fights those battles. Right? Yes. And this is the one you're not going to believe. But we can make mistakes. We can. I can mess up with the best of you. All right? Why? Because I'm a real person. I have failures. I have feelings. I become irritated at times. I become downhearted at times. I become discouraged at times. I go through the same thing that everybody else in this congregation goes through, as do the rest of the pastors. So never look at a pastor and think, oh, he's somebody put up on a pedestal. Don't do that. Because we're human. Pastors have children. And they're just like your kids. I know the old running joke is, you know, there's none worse than the pastor's kids. That's not true. They're just like the rest of your kids. Right? They mess up also. And when a pastor's child messes up, do not back up and say, whoa, I can't believe that came from the pastor's child. Believe it. They're just like your kids. They can mess up too. Don't crucify them. And I will be honest with you. There's always this fear in most pastors. What if my kids do something? How is everybody going to look at me after they find out what my child has done? And listen, let me tell all of our pastors, whereas Brother Michael, Brother Kelly, Brother Ken, Brother you over there. Don't ever think that. Your ministry is not about you. And your child is one of the most important things that God has placed in your care. Okay? He's going to mess up. And yes, somebody may point at him and say, he's the pastor's kid. Well, don't worry about that person, because they're a big hypocrite anyway, because they had kids too. Never, ever worry about your ministry based upon what your child does. Worry about your child. Okay? Worry about your child. As pastors, we have wives. Oh, and we love our wives. There you go. Come on, boys. Get with me here. We love our wives. But I want to tell you something about our wives. They're just like every other wife. First of all, they're not the pastor. Don't go to them. They're not the pastor. All right? But understand, they have the feelings, desires, and love in their heart that every other woman has. Right? Let them be imperfect, because they are. Let them love their kids. Let them love their husband. I'll tell you something. If you want to straighten out your pastor, don't go to the pastor's wife. Because they're probably not going to hear it. As a matter of fact, it's one of the few times I've seen Miss Beth really get upset, and that's when somebody went to her. Now she needs to straighten me out. She does that all the time, by the way. But don't you ever tell her to do it. No, understand our wives are human too. Okay? We don't have a 9-to-5 job. We do try to keep office hours within reason at Victory, but you know, you're on call 24/7. You never know when you're going to get a call at midnight. You never know when you're going to have to go to the hospital on your day off, and you never know. So it's a tough schedule. We hear everyone's troubles. And that's okay. But understand, we hear everyone's troubles. And you carry that with you. I'll be honest with you. If you're hurting, you cannot share your pain with me and I not hurt. Why? Because I love you. And I can say that for every staff pastor. Right? I love you. And they love you. And when you share with them the pain, they're going to carry that pain. They can't help it. And pastors don't have a pastor. We don't have someone to share our pain with. You say, Brother Doug, can't you talk to Brother Michael? No. I probably talk to Brother Michael more than I can talk to anyone. But there are some things that I can only talk to God about. I'll be honest. Pastors sometimes feel lonely because sometimes we make decisions and we feel like we're standing on those decisions alone. Yeah? We say, okay, the church needs to do this. And the church says, no, we don't need to do this. And you're saying, but God has led us here. And you're saying, no. And this guy's out here, he's fighting the battle and he's doing it all alone, you know. And it gets lonely sometimes. The pastor has times of spiritual dryness. Did you know that there are times pastors pray and they feel like their prayers don't go any higher than the ceiling? Do you know that? How many of you ever experienced that? Would you raise your hand? Us too. Us too. We have times that we read the Bible and nothing sinks in. Bottom line, we're human. And here's the thing. You say, wow, Brother Doug, I'm kind of depressed for you. That's not what I told you. Okay? And I'm not unhappy, and our staff, we're not unhappy. I want you to get the real picture of being a pastor. Right? And here's what you have to know, really, about pastors besides they're human. We can't quit. Even if I wanted to, I can't quit. Because I didn't start. God called me. You see? And I'll be honest with you, I would not, could not do anything else. You say, Brother Doug, if I offered you any job in this world, what would you do? Just exactly what I'm doing at Victory Missionary Baptist Church in Russellville, Arkansas. This is where I'd be. Why? Because it's what God has called me to. I wouldn't exchange it for anything. I'm not, and like I said, I didn't share all this to get you down and think, well, Brother Doug's depressed. I'm not depressed. I want you to see that all pastors are human. Okay? So, what do you do about it? How can you help? Well, I'm glad you asked. Verse 13, Paul said, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Esteem them means to think. That word highly, it means to be full or completely. How do you esteem them very highly? You love them fully. The greatest thing that pastors need today in this world is the love and the support of the congregation which they pastor. You know? That's the biggest thing. And you do that to me quite often. I hope you do it to the rest of the staff. That you just come up every once in a while and say, man, I appreciate you. Man, I'm praying for you. You have no idea what that does. That lifts me up. It lets me know, hey, you know, they do care. And tell the rest of the staff the same thing. Encourage them. Tell them you love them. Show them you love them. Why? For the work's sake. Because sometimes it is hard. Right? Sometimes it is hard. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I can fool most of the people most of the time. What do you mean? I can make you think I don't have a care in this world. But I do. Why? Because I'm just like you and I have the same cares that everybody else has. Love your pastors. Love your pastors and show that love for every, not just me, and you do, but every pastor that the church has. We need that. Right, guys? We need that. All right. That's your pastor responsibilities. Now let's talk about people responsibilities. You must know, the next thing you need to know about churches is that churches are filled with people. And that's our problem. If we got rid of the people, we'd be the perfect church, wouldn't we? Only problem is, wouldn't any of us be here? Paul addresses some things that are common in churches. Number one, he said at the end of verse 13, he said, and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace. Promote an atmosphere of love and harmony in the church. Take time to love on people. Now, we just talked about loving on pastors, and that's good, but the pastors aren't the only ones who need to be loved. Do you realize that the biggest thing that everyone present here today needs is love? They need love and understanding. And even to the point that, yeah, I know you're a sinner, but I love you anyway. Yes, I know that you're not perfect, but I love you anyway. That's what people need. And you know what? The one thing, I've told you this before, but I'm going to remind you of this again today. The one thing that I appreciate so much is when people visit Victory, they come through that door and they realize, hey, this church is different. They feel the love when they enter here. And that says a lot for this membership. I praise God for you. Keep loving people. And not just loving, but keep the peace. Make sure that you're promoting an atmosphere of harmony among the brethren. At any time, there are things that you can become irritated at. Have you noticed that? And I'm probably the chief irritant. I'm sorry, but I probably am, right? But promote peace. Promote peace and harmony among the brethren. Why? Because being a part of a loving, peaceful church is so soul satisfying. It's what we need. Not only keep the peace, not only keep the peace, but warn the unruly. And here's the hard part. Warn the unruly, Paul said. Here's where we're careful. We got to be careful, but we've got to tell people the truth. Do you care enough to tell someone the truth? When you know that you have a brother that's going down the wrong road, do you love them enough to say, "Come here, brother, I want you to know I love you. But you're making some bad choices here and this is not going to end well." You say, "Oh, Brother Doug, who am I to tell someone over here that they're going down the wrong road?" You're their brother in Christ. Are you your brother's keeper? Absolutely. And yes, I know sometimes it turns out that they don't want to hear what you have to say. It's kind of like preaching. Every once in a while we have to preach those messages that we don't want to preach, but God puts it on our hearts, and there are people who hear it and take offense to it because it points out their sin. You know, that's why preaching a message on homosexuality is so tough. Because just as soon as you say that lifestyle is not acceptable to God, people back up and become all offensive and they think, "Well, you're just a bigot. You don't love people." No, that's not it. I love you. That's why I'm telling you that lifestyle is wrong. Yeah? It's the same concept for church members. Listen, if a church member comes to you and says, "I love you, but you need to think about what you're doing," don't bite their head off. Don't take offense, because they may just be loving you right out of trouble in the future. You see, we have that responsibility toward one another. Warn the unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted. Encourage those who are discouraged. Oh, it is so easy. Did you know walking in here is an automatic encouragement on Sundays? I love Sundays, don't you? I love coming together with God's people. I need to come together with God's people. I walk in here and I see that your smiling face, which, by the way, smile when you come into the Lord's house. All right? Don't wait for us to perk you up. When you come into God's house, you have come into God's presence. Smile. Don't be that old Baptist that sulls up and says, "Go ahead, make me smile." You know, the challenge is on then. Smile. Let others see your joy, because they need to see people who are happy. I mean, there's no denying. There's plenty in this old world to be unhappy about. But if you're a child of the King, you have plenty to be happy about. Let the world see your joy. Comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. It's talking about the sick. All right, those who are physically sick. Be there for those who are experiencing sickness. Be there to lift them up and to help them any way that you can. I love the last one he puts here, and be verse 14, and be patient with all. How many of you are patient with all? How many of us want to be patient with all? Okay, absolutely. Once again, let's refer to rule number one, what we've talked about the whole way. Everybody here is human. Everybody here makes mistakes. Everybody here has failures. Everybody here has habits that irritate and annoy. Everybody here is in the same boat. Let's be patient with one another and love one another in spite of our inadequacies. Why? Because we're God's people. And Jesus said, "By this they shall know, the world shall know, that you're my disciples if you have love for one another." Let's love one another. And I know we do. And I appreciate that. We continue. Navigating church life. Let's get down to you and your personal responsibilities. You must know that not only do you have responsibilities toward your pastor, not only do you have responsibilities toward the people of the church, you have personal responsibilities. And number one is rejoice. Rejoice always. How do you do that? Do you walk around with this goofy big old smile on your face? Yes. Yes. Okay, maybe not. But no one, if you are a child of God, no one can take away the joy that should be present in your soul. Not the circumstances of this life, not the battles and the storms that you're going through, not even Satan himself can take your joy. Hang on to that joy. Okay? As I said before, yeah, there's plenty wrong in this world and in this country, and we can focus on the negative, but listen, we're wasting time. We're children of the King. I have an inheritance in heaven that'll never fade away. Now, does that put a smile on your face? Does that cause you to rejoice? I'm going to live forever. Does that cause you to smile? One of these days, if I don't die on this earth, Jesus Christ is going to step out on a cloud. He's going to give a shout and a trumpet's going to sound. And I'm leaving here toot sweet and in a hurry to go meet my Savior and every other saint that's gone on before me. Won't that make you smile? Rejoice always. There's always a reason to rejoice. And then pray without ceasing, Paul says. Oh, listen, beloved, you got to pray. Every day, pray. Every day. Does that mean we'll walk around with a prayer on our lips? Pretty much. I realize it's not saying we spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on our knees. I realize that's not. But there should always, with that line of communication should be ever present in the life of the child of God. Let me ask you, do you ever go a day without praying? Please don't. You cannot have a relationship with someone you do not speak to. Pray every day. Brother Doug, I don't really know how to pray. Listen, a lot of people have this idea about prayer where it's got to be this really laid out religious thing. I knew a girl one time right after she was saved, and I heard her praying, and you know what she did? She opened her prayer with, "Hello, Lord." Before she had heard all this religious, "Oh, Father in heaven, mighty are you." And before, she didn't know anything else to say, but "Hello, Lord, how are you today?" But it was the sweetest thing because she was sincere. And that's what God's looking for. Listen, you can't add to God's glory by painting Him with big religious words. He just wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you when things are bad. But He also wants to hear from you when things are good. Don't wait until there's a crisis to pray. Why? Because you won't ever be good at it. Pray every day. Lord, Brother Doug, what do I say? Well, thank Him. Thank Him for what He's done. Ask Him for what you need. But pray without ceasing. Then be thankful, Paul said. Be thankful. Count your blessings. Instead of complaining, count your blessings. I can complain with the best of them. Counting my blessings often takes effort. But you know what? When I quit complaining and I start focusing on the good things that God has done, guess what happens to my attitude? It skyrockets. It skyrockets. Be thankful. Don't quench the Spirit. Here's great advice to the child of God. Have you ever heard God speak to you? I'm not talking about an audible voice. You just heard that still small voice within. You ever hear that still small voice within? Absolutely. What do? Listen. You need to volunteer for that position at the church. Listen, God knows what He's doing. Oh, Brother Doug scares me to death. Listen, no. God knows what He's doing. He put it in your heart. Do it. You need to witness to that coworker. You need to invite that friend to church. Oh, but I don't want to mess up our friendship. Listen, when they spend eternity in hell, it will mess up your friendship. Right? Listen to God. Learn how to listen to the Spirit of God, not turn Him off. Oh, I'll do it later. Oh, I'll serve next year when I retire. No. Listen to the Spirit of God. Don't quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. You know what He's talking about there? That it's utterances inspired by God. He's saying, He's saying love preaching. Put it in our language. Love preaching. Listen, I know that there are times that I'm a little bit dull. There are times when I'm a little bit long-winded. Like this morning. There are times when you have to make an effort to listen to me. But listen. Listen anyway. Don't let the thing on your mind during the preaching and teaching of God's Word be, oh, I hope He shuts her down by 11:30 so we can make it to the restaurant. Love the preaching of God's Word. Whether it's me, whether it's one of our other pastors, you know. And on Sunday nights, I often, you know, I sometimes don't tell somebody else is preaching because it tends to thin down the crowd a little bit if they think Brother Doug's not preaching. And so I sometimes don't tell you, and the reason I don't, you know, because I want you to come. Learn to love the preaching of God's Word. Examine everything. Make sure that everything we do, everything you do, is in alignment with the Word of God. And here's the last one. Abstain from every form of evil. Literally, abstain from the appearance of evil. Here's what we have to know as children of God. People are watching. And we're human. And we make mistakes. And we have to be willing to be patient with one another even though we make mistakes. And still love one another anyway. But there's a world out there that's watching. And they're waiting to have something to point a finger at you and say, yeah, you call yourself a Christian. Look at what you did. And they don't go by the same standard that we go by because they're not children of God. What am I saying? I'm saying as children of God, it doesn't matter if you're 6 years old or you're 600 years old. What you do is a reflection on, number one, the God that you serve. Amen. Number two, on the church that you attend. And then finally, upon you and your testimony. Abstain from every appearance of evil. When I was in pastor at Pinecrest Baptist Church in Corinth, Mississippi, we had a problem. And the problem was, on Saturday night, people would drive by and throw beer bottles in the churchyard. And of course, you know, I was young then, and irritated me, you know, and on Sunday mornings, a lot of times, I'd have to go in the front of the churchyard and pick up beer bottles. And it occurred to me one Sunday morning that I had gone out and picked up beer bottles. And I was walking down the road holding a beer bottle and cars were passing by. Right in front of the church. And I thought, uh-oh. So from that point forward, I always took a little bag and I could put the bottles in. Why? Because I could just hear somebody say, that preacher's out there having him a cold one before services on Sunday morning. That wasn't what I wanted the world to see from me or for the church, for anybody else. You see, it's easy. It's so easy to get in trouble, even when you don't even realize you're doing anything because the world's watching. We need to be on guard. That's why Paul says, abstain from the appearance of evil. And then finally, I want to remind you of one last thing. You know, we're all human. We all have our ups and downs and disappointments and failures and victories. And we're all very different. But one thing we have in common is Jesus Christ. You see, that's what makes it all work as children of God, is Jesus. That's what makes you who you are. That's what makes me who I am. And the two commandments that we hold dearly in this church, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus is about. That's who Jesus is about. You may be here today and you don't know the love of God. Listen, let me share with you this. Jesus Christ is a demonstration of the love of God. He came to this earth, was without sin. I mean, He never committed the first sin. Not anything. And yet, He was crucified upon the cross of Calvary. Why? Because you are a sinner. And I'm a sinner. The Bible says that God commended His love or proved His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loves you. Jesus loves you. And He died so that you could have eternal life. Are you a child of the King? If not, would you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior today? It's that simple. A lot of people think, well, you know, Brother Doug, I know you just say you have to believe. But there has to be more to it than that. Listen to me and listen to me good. All right? The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That means you. Okay? If there were any more to it than that, you could not make it. None of us could. Why? Because we're unworthy sinners. By grace are you saved. Through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Have you experienced the grace of God? If not, this invitation's for you. Maybe you're here. Maybe you've been critical. Critical of the brethren, critical of the church, critical of, you know, you misplaced that good, godly attitude that you ought to have. Today's a good day to change. Amen? Today's a good day to turn her around. And stand up and say, tell Him, you can't have my joy. Jesus bought and paid for that upon the cross of Calvary. You can't have it. Take your stand with Jesus today. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the day. We thank You for Your Word and the reminder, Lord, of things that I know we all know. We know to rejoice. We know to pray without ceasing. We know these things. But sometimes we fall short. So, Lord, I pray that You let these things seep deeply within us. May we take them to heart and not just hear them, but put them into action. Lord, we love You. In all things, we praise You, for You are a wonderful God. In Jesus' name I pray.